Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in,
yes,
look.
Sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Memphis. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down in the mouth to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Hey, hey. What's going on?
Hey.
Relationship Extra is back. Alex and Stoney, we had a brief relationship vacation
hiatus.
Yeah, that's a good word, which means we was out traveling the last several weeks, experiencing a lot, doing a lot. Sometimes you got to do this as a family and, you know, leave some of the other stuff behind and leave your state and go visit other states and travel. And this is how we grow and learn about different things and the way other people live.
Oh, stop sugarcoating it. We went to Topeka, Kansas. How much growing can you do in Topeka? Okay. That's where I was born. And so I decided to take my husband to Topeka to show him our stomping ground a little bit. And boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, taking a city boy to the country, the Midwest, I should say.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I got to admit, it's not much to do in Topeka, you know, at all. But before we even get into that, we're going to talk to you guys about our vacation, our travels and everything. But I do want you guys to call in. This is a special Relationship Extra tonight. We're taking callers. Call in with your questions, your concerns. We'll address those right on the show, you know, live as we speak. We don't have any, you know, pre-recorded material that we're doing with the subject matter. It's whatever you want to talk about tonight. It's sort of like when Bree does the Freestyle Thursdays. That's what we're doing tonight.
Relationship Freestyle.
Relationship Freestyle. So call us at 424-220-1862, 424-220-1862. Call us with any questions or concerns you may have. Of course, again, I'm Alex. That's Stoney. And we're here for you guys, so whatever you want to talk about. Of course, we have what we want to talk about as well. So if you want to chime in on that, you can. Isn't that right, Stoney?
That's it. That's it.
So we want to get back to our vacation hiatus. And as I was saying, we were in Topeka, Kansas, and at one juncture for, what, 7 days, 6 days?
Yeah, 7 days.
And there's just not much in Topeka, Kansas. I enjoy it myself. I really did. I enjoyed the people. I enjoyed going up to Dodge City. You know, I'm an older guy, you know, mid-40s, and I remember Gunsmoke and all that kind of stuff and Dodge City. So we went up there, the old television series, Gunsmoke. So we went up there where apparently they filmed it and did those things. It's a great museum up there now, museum and artifacts and different things there. So that was great. A lot of driving through Kansas. It's a real flat land. I don't know how my wife grew up there.
Well, I got a bone to pick with you about the driving.
Yeah, what about it?
Because I drove so much while we were there that this time, and y'all dogged me about my driving. Now, how y'all sitting back in the...
That was your mother.
No. That was you, too. Sitting in the... Now, folks, get this. They're sitting in the AC hybrid Expedition. I mean, it's huge. It drives like a Cadillac, okay? And they just ragging me about driving, staying in my lane. I'm in my lane. Oh, no, parking. They're killing me. They're killing me on parking. Now, I've been in Virginia for like a good 15 years, and I still know how to parallel park because Virginia, they don't parallel park here. But I can still parallel park. But, oh, my
you always
God.
You're always on the line or crossing the line.
I'm on the line.
When you park, always.
And you said it's my mother.
Yeah, you're going to get dings in the car.
Oh, my God.
Because you park on the line,
how
other
big,
people come, they can't open their doors.
If they can't see how big it is, they don't need to be parking next to me then.
Whatever. You have to take into consideration other people have to park next to you. But you don't need, I don't think you see it because the vehicle is so big. You don't see the lines. Stoney does not use her mirrors. I've been trying to get her to do this for years. What? Look in your mirrors, your side view mirrors. Look at the sidewalk. Look at the line.
Why don't I use my mirrors if I can
park,
look out the window?
Because you can't see it. It's as simple as that.
Okay.
You can't see it. So I'm trying to help. I'm doing you a favor. I'm helping you out.
Well, I think I did a fantabulous job.
Hey, we're alive. You did something right.
That's right. I had precious cargo, and plus I need to go up there and see Tim at Sweetie Pies, and that's what I did. That was my goal.
Sweetie Pies. Welcome to Sweetie Pies. On the OWN Network, we went to St. Louis. We went to the St. Louis, the famous arch in St. Louis. Had a great time there, took pictures and everything, and went over to Sweetie Pie's restaurant.
And saw my Sweetie Pie.
She saw Tim and took pictures with Tim. And those of you that don't know this show, Sweetie Pie's, it come on Oprah's Network, OWN Network. It usually come on Saturday nights. I think now the season's over. They're working on a new series, a new season at this point. But we watch the show. We like the show. The owner, her name is Robbie. She's a former Ikeette from Tina Turner. Ike and Tina Turner. She used to sing with them back in the day. Now she has a couple of soul food restaurants that are very successful in St. Louis. So we're fans of the show. So to go to St. Louis and actually be in the restaurant that we see on TV every week was a great experience. And to take pictures with, you know, the crew in the restaurant who'd be on the show. That was great as well.
Yeah, that was real fun. And the food was great. The food was really, really good.
That was the biggest thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, you know, see this show on TV and be excited and take a plane ride over there and then drive down to St. Louis or whatever. All this hoopla, and the food didn't make it for me. So I was pleasantly surprised that the food was actually very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in St. Louis, go down to Sweetie Pies. You know, enjoy yourself. Go see that arch over there. The arch and Sweetie Pies, a drive is about about an hour and a half away from each other. So if you go to the arch and you want to drive over to Sweetie Pies, it's about an hour and a half drive or so. So, but it's definitely worth the drive. It's worth going and seeing those things, and we really enjoyed that. So, but we're going to start getting to the topics at hand today, and I'm going to let...
We don't have any topics at hand today.
Well, you have something that you wanted to discuss.
Well, no, yeah, we do, but it's to go with the flow. So I want to see who's in queue.
Well, I have a caller.
Yeah, great.
I have a
That's
caller on here, and I want to know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be Bree. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's on hold to see what they want to discuss today. So we're going to bring on our first caller here. Again, please call us, 424-220-1862. Call us with your questions tonight. Our extra freestyling, and we're on. Hold on. Who do we have on our extra tonight?
Peace and blessings.
Hey,
it's your girl Bree.
Bree Love in the house, and it don't stop. What up, baby?
Hello. And thank you for coming back from vacation. I feel like you've been all around the world, and the summer's not even over. It's not even we're in midsummer now.
Mm-hmm. It was getting hot out there. It was getting hot. We had to bring it in.
Yes. Right now we're in the midst of a real heat wave right now.
Yes, we're in one right now. Also here in New York and BK, it's about 97 degrees outside.
Right now, at
8
o'clock at night.
It's blazing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something, Bree. We shot a film last weekend, my wife's second film.
Yay!
Called Transference. This is her second film she directed.
Written by Alex W. Lee.
I wrote it, okay, so that's great. And we were out shooting Saturday and Sunday. Now, Saturday, it was a scorcher. Then it poured raining on top of that. Sunday,
wow.
Sunday we're going out to shoot. We checked the thermostat in the car, and it said 108.
108.
And we're out there on an exterior shoot. It was burning up out there.
Yeah, it was. And then on top of that, on Saturday when we shot, and I want to thank, I want to shout out to all the actors that came and our crew. I want to shout out to Kenny and my goddaughter who came in to see us do the shoot and everything. But in the apartment that we shot, we had to turn off the AC so that we can shoot so that the camera wouldn't pick up.
Not the camera, the boom,
the
mic.
Boom, the boom wouldn't pick up the pick up the sound of the AC, and they stuck in it. They were troopers. I mean, everybody, I mean, talk about glistening. Everybody was glistening that day. So I want to say, if Kenny's listening and, you know, if Angel's listening, thank you guys for coming. The actors were great, and, you know, we couldn't do it, did it without them.
And you know,
so.
Kenny, you know, Kenny was as dark as Kenny is. He looked like a chocolate bar melting in the sun. That's how he looked like.
I know. You know that? Now, that's my brother. Leave him alone now.
I have
of course he will.
Chili nicknamed Kenny Hot Chocolate Latte.
Yeah, Hot Chocolate Latte. Wow. But Hot Chocolate Latte,
Kenny.
A little minute here. You know?
Yeah.
What your whereabouts have been?
Harlem, USA. Uptown, baby. Uptown, baby.
Uptown, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You've been getting around a little bit yourself. You know?
Not really.
Not really?
Not really.
Pretty stationary?
Not really. Pretty stationary.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Doing my best to stay still.
Try your best to stay still.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. That's what the Lord says. Stand still.
No,
stay
you
still,
have
to
stay still and stay free.
Yeah, be still, my daughter.
Yes.
That's it.
That's what the Lord is telling you.
I have I have something that I would like to talk about.
Okay.
For our extra.
Okay.
I don't really have a question so much. I mean, it can evolve to some questions, especially if your listeners and the listeners out there call into the show, 424-220-1862. As you probably heard several times before on my show, and when I talk about relationships, I say communication is the key,
mm-hmm.
is foundational.
Right.
And, you know, it sounds cliche because we hear it all the time. We hear it in conversation. We see it on, you know, on shows. We hear it on shows. We see it over the internet. But for as cliche as it may sound, it is really, really the truth. And not only is communication key, but so is honesty. They work
mm-hmm.
hand in hand. Because you can be communicating and lying your behind off.
Right.
So.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say that being, as I, you know, admittedly so, admit that I am 40 plus years old. God bless me. Another year. Last week, July 12th, 45th birthday. So happy that I'm still here. Blessed with another day to get it right.
Right.
Having said that, just this past month, I have been in several situations. In all different types of relationships, friends, family members, people that you get to know, I've been faced with communication issues, and I've learned a lot about communication just this past month.
Mm-hmm.
I learned personally for myself how I communicate and how I don't. communicate and the things that I need to improve on. I think, so my Relationship Extra Freestyle is about communication. And that I think, especially when we're in our when we're in our 40s and our 50s, we, like I say all the time, my friends have heard me say this before, you know, we've come to the point in our lives where we've been hurt, we hurt people, we love, we've been married, divorced, we've been in relationships, we live with people, done a plethora of dating. And once you get to be in your 40s and 50s, you're stuck in your ways because you've been doing it a particular way for so long. And then you might have a hiatus where you're not in any type of relationship for whatever reason. And then you find yourself in a new relationship. You have to be open to learning how to communicate, not just utilize the skill sets of communication that you've had before, because that may not be applicable. But like Bruce Lee said, I'm like water, you know, and you have to learn how to adapt and adjust so that your flows can, the tides and the flows of the water can all form around whatever you're trying to build. Whether it's a business partner or a relationship with a man or a woman, or, you know, just your communications with your family, you got to be open to learning new ideas, listening to new ideas, and also being open to learning how to communicate in new ways that you haven't done before. Because what you used to do in the past may not work for who you are in this moment. So you have to open up your mind to a different way of doing something, especially if you want to be successful and real connection.
Well, let me say this to that, and I happen to agree with you. And what I want to add is simply this. You also have to learn from your past experiences and understand not to repeat them. And you brought up that, you know, we're in our 40s now, and you know, we just have less time now. And so all those years, 18, 25, 28, 32, whatever, all those years were learning experiences for us, despite the excruciating pain of the relationships we've been through. Because there's a lot of pain involved with relationships, particularly when you're young and don't know anything. Okay? So when you go through that and you get a chance for reflection is a powerful thing because you get to look back. This is the advantage that we have that the younger generation don't have because we live years and now we get the opportunity to reflect. See, when you're 17 years old, you have nothing to reflect on. So you're going into stuff blind. But when you're 40, 45, you get to look back and say, okay, I know this particular thing typically doesn't work. I'm not going to repeat that. I got a certain criterion which I have to live under. Whoever I choose has to live under this fit this criteria. Otherwise, it's just not going to work because at 45 or 40, whatever, I now know myself. I know what I can live with, what I can't live with, what I will tolerate, what I can't tolerate. Yes, nobody's perfect, but you have to come to the table with most of my criteria. You won't come with all of it. It's that whole 80-20 thing. But you have to come with most of my criteria before you even get a shot. So I'm not going to be bothered. You see, as a man, when I'm a younger man, I'm trying to get notches in my belt. It doesn't matter who the woman is at 20. When I'm 20, 21, I'm just trying to smash it and get notches in my belt. Once I pass that stage and reach a level of maturity, and I want to spend my time and energy and intimacy with a woman for real. Now you got to start trying to meet a criteria. Now you got to start understanding what it is that you want and knowing yourself and having that person come into your life that fits that. Otherwise, you're not learning, you're not growing, you're not evolving, and you're never going to be happy.
But if I could just interrupt there, you know, I hear what you're saying, but for a lot of us who there are some of us that have been in a lot of relationships, me, myself, I've in my lifetime, I've only been in four.
Uh-huh.
And each one of those people were very different. They have a common thread, and I'm the common denominator, of course. But, you know, you also have to bear in mind that, like, who we are right now in our mid-40s, we're different than we were 20 years ago.
Exactly.
And if there's been a hiatus of time where we haven't been with anybody and now we suddenly find ourselves in relationships, not only during that hiatus do you discover who you've become and think about who you are in that moment and who you want to be, but once you have allowed yourself to be a part of somebody else's life, now you take on another form of identity. Now you have to recognize who you are when you're with this person.
And that is so true. And a lot of people don't realize that because there lies, as Alex's script said, there lies the irony. Because when we are with somebody for a long period of time, like, for example, and I'm going to use myself for this example, is that when I was with my first husband, I was 15 when I met him. And I married him and had a child. And I mean, I did not separate from him until I was around 26. So from 15 to 26, I was a married woman, married mother, you know. And so when I separated, I didn't know who I was. So I needed that time to figure out who the heck was me, because I was married and a mother. Now I had to get to know myself in order for me to put myself back out there. For anyone to get to know me, I had to know myself first.
Now, how much time did that take?
Oh, that took some time.
Right. Exactly. Because you're still in your 20s.
Yeah, that took some time.
You haven't even reached 30 yet.
Yeah, that took some time.
They really say that between 20 and 30, those are the knucklehead years.
Mm-hmm. And I was a knucklehead.
You make so many mistakes between like 18 and 30, it's ridiculous. But you have to make them, because this is how we learn and become wise. But once you make it, like the saying goes, you know, a smart man learns from his mistake. But a true wise man learns from the mistakes of others.
Mm-hmm.
If you see stuff that's crazy and bogus, why would you repeat that? I had kids tell me all the time, you know, my own kids, adult kids, whatever, teenage kids, they always tell me, but I got to see it for myself. I got to do it myself. If you know, I'm telling you, if you've seen me get dogged out in this situation, why would you repeat it? I don't understand that. You can't reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Right.
You know, and they'll step right into it and go, but I got to find out. I got to learn my own way. Get trashed out here in life, because life is no joke. You know, your life is dictated by the decisions that you make most of the time. Now, bad things happen to good people. That's just life. But most of the stuff that happens to you is really your own fault. Something you did, the decisions you made, the plans you made.
Bad choices,
people you got involved with. Most of it is your own fault.
But you also got to realize that sometimes you don't know that the choices are bad, or come to grips with the choices are bad, until you've gone through it and then have to deal with the path that it leads you down. And you're like, that was a bad thing I did. So you're learning. You have to learn the lessons that come with it, because I always say they're whispers first. And if you don't listen to the whispers, they get louder and louder until you, it's like blaring in your head, and you already made your own choices. So you just have to understand what you're doing and take what
the whispers get to the point where it's a brick upside your head, something to wake you up. Because some people just don't hear the whispers. They don't. What you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, what I was going to say is that, yeah, they're whispers. They're all types of voices. They're loud ones, soft ones, and moderate. Like Stoney said, sometimes you don't know a thing that you're in until you're actually in it. Here's the difference, though. If you have been through something in the past and you get into a new relationship and you see some things that there might be cause to have concern for, it's not necessarily a thing that you have to throw your hands up and say, oh, hell no, out, because you don't know. You gotta do a little more investing of and trying to peel back the layers, because you also have to understand it's not just about you. It's about another person that may have gone through some stuff too.
Right.
And what they might be showing you is residue from the stuff that they might have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just throw a person away because they've been banged up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
got to give a person a chance. And if you keep the dialogue open, and also I can't stress enough being honest and saying the things that need to be said, because if you don't do that, I guarantee you'll get frustrated. The first time a person does something that remotely reminds you of the past, or the least little thing, they could move a piece of paper from one side of the table to the next, and then that'd be something that completely sets you off. And it has nothing to do with how they move the paper. It has something to do with your own issues that you haven't even dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And some stuff that they're going through that they're not dealing with. And that's where the miscommunication happens. And you could be walking away from a really good relationship. But because you didn't do enough talking, you didn't find it out.
I can give you a good example. It's a funny example for me, because I didn't really realize that I was doing this until... I figured it out. But when I was first married, my ex used to eat cereal in the middle of the night. And the way he used to eat the cereal used to drive me crazy. It was like he was just slurping the milk out of the bowl, a big old bowl. So it used to, and it was every night. So once we broke up, I never bought cereal. I refused to buy cereal. I never bought cereal in the house. Not until Alex came and he's like, "Why do you have cereal?" I don't know. No cereal. And we barely have cereal now because I realized that was something that was in me, in my psyche, that annoyed the crap out of me, that I had to deal with, because it deprived my son from cereal, because when he would latch onto a cereal, because he knew I probably wouldn't buy it again, but it would be, you know, he would eat it all at once because he didn't know when the next box was coming. I didn't care for it because he turned me off from it. But that's what you have to somehow come to grips that when people come into your life, they come into your life for a certain reason. And they go, and it's time to go, it's time to go.
Exactly. See, that's my point right there. When it's time to go, hopefully you'll recognize that before you get further marinated into a bad situation, it's time to cut your losses.
That's it.
But at least you've exercised enough due diligence to say, no, this is not working. It's time to go.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if I had kept on that thing, I would have said, no, we cannot have cereal in the house. But that was not his plight. That was my plight. And I had to fix that. So, again, we do have a couple of boxes of cereal in the house. But I still, you know, when I see the big bowl, and it does take me back a little bit, but I'm smart enough
well,
to
see,
say.
Cereal wouldn't have been the issue for me. It's milk. I don't drink milk. I don't like the way milk looks. I don't like the way it smells. I don't like the texture of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm psychologically jacked up when it comes to that liquid. So.
Wow.
Even though if I didn't have a son who is 15 and growing and eats everything that ain't nailed down,
right,
and he loves cereal, I would never have a box of cereal in my house, let alone a container of milk in my refrigerator.
I can't believe that my wife has been scarred by Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch is a mofo. Oh my gosh.
This is crazy.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. It's crazy. But let me interject something real quick, and you know, you do have to stay the course and give somebody a chance and do that whole thing there. But Let me ask both of you something. Aren't you denying yourself that initial honeymoon period that every relationship needs to have to start off on a good note before you get into the crap? Because if from day one you're dealing with crap, you coming with a myriad of issues on the first day, when do you ever have a happy moment to remember with this person? Everything's been an issue from the first day.
Well, I'm going to let the host answer the question first because it is her show.
Well, I mean, I would actually need you to give me a little bit more information as far as an example of what you're referring to so that...
Like, for instance, okay, we met, whatever the case is. We had 2-3 years of pure hanging out, dating, laughing, joking, all these different types of things before we even decided to try to take things a little deeper or before we really started to, like, bring issues to one another. We just had fun, okay? If we had an issue, perhaps we took it to our family or whatever the case may be. Man, we discussed things with one another, but we didn't bring our stuff and put it on one another to affect the relationship at that juncture. You know things are going to come up down the road. That's just basic common sense. But you can't deny yourself the initial honeymoon period of trying to enjoy the relationship. If on day one you're hit with stuff, when do you ever enjoy the relationship? When do you have that time?
Okay. Well, in reference to talking about our thing, I didn't want to bring anything to you because I just wanted sex. But anyway.
Oh, boy. Lord.
No, but. So. But, no.
I just feel like a piece of meat right now. You know?
Ooh.
I'm just going to, I mean, y'all can do it. I mean, why can't women? But, I mean, I understand what
no,
you're
Stoney,
saying.
No, Stoney, you're my hero. No, you're my Shiro.
Wow. Okay, well.
There are a lot of us out there that, you got to remember that a lot of times, and this is my opinion, women are nurturers, and women love nurturing. That is our purpose, to nurture. Most women, I'm going to say most women, because there's some women out there that, you know, that don't. But a lot of us want to take care of the man. A lot of us want to take care of the children. They want to do that. So when you come to us and you say, you know, hey, let's do this, and the man is like, oh, but I can't do it, then the woman wants to say, you know, I got you. They want to show you, hey, I got you. And to say that, you know, to be in the honeymoon stage, that is a honeymoon stage for us. To say that, you know, I was there for him. He got it, and he sees me. And then he calls me and says, you know what? I need to talk. I need to vent. That is a woman's. That's a woman's thing, right there. Like I'm here. So to where you guys say the honeymoon stage, I think it means different things to men than it does to women. You guys want where where the man can come in and just sit down, get the remote control, watch sports. You know, go have sex and then go home. That's the honeymoon stage.
Don't forget eating, you know.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You got to have a good meal.
Got to have a good meal. And then go home. That's to you a honeymoon stage. But who has to, but the women have to do all that to give that to you. So I say it depends on the woman. It depends on the man. That's how I feel.
Well,
again, you know, I was out for sex, so I was.
Yeah, you got one thing, yeah.
Well. Here's how I feel. You know, in the optimal circumstances, the honeymoon stage is off the hook. And I've had both. I've had optimal circumstances with my ex when we first met. It was like a fairy tale, you know. But we were able to have that fairy tale because we didn't have a lot of pressures of life on us. We were both in our mid-20s. We didn't have any children. We were both making over $80,000 a year apiece. We had cars. We had stability. So there was nothing impeding us from just having a ball. The only thing that would have been holding us back is ourselves. You know, we didn't have baby mama drama because neither one of us had, or daddy baby drama because neither one of us had children. You know, I mean, we, you know, as the relationship progressed, of course, you know, things started happening, but we had the opportunity to have that honeymoon period that Alex is referencing. But then I've also been faced, I've been in situations where things were not optimal. There wasn't a lot of money between me and the person. You know, either one or both of us might have been unemployed. And we have pressing issues weighing on us. Having children, wanting to be able to stabilize situations and stuff like that. And yet we still wanted to come together and be together. And you have a honeymoon period, but you also got the stuff that you come with. And that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, that when you get to be our age, you coming with baggage.
You definitely are.
When it kills me when I hear both men and women talk about, I don't want nobody with no baggage. How the hell you live 40-plus years and you don't have any? Unless you don't have children, unless you're going to deal with somebody, and I'll have you guys cracking up. My mother is 75 years old. And I remember, you know, as early back as 20 years ago, let's say, my mother was like, the next man I'm going to get, he going to be an orphan. He ain't going to know where he come from. This way I don't have to deal with no damn family. And he better have this, and this right. And I used to say to her, that is an awful thing to say. You know, that a person should be an orphan so you don't have to deal with children, you don't have to deal with parents, you don't have to deal with, you know, family members, you know, where it just would be you and that person. But
right.
Now that I've been through as much as I have up to this point, I can really dig where she's coming from. Because when a person comes with their stuff, they come with everything. They come with the family. The immediate family and the extended family, the kids. You know, you gotta make allowances for kids. You gotta deal with the ex-wife situation. You got, I mean, hey, y'all know. You come with a lot of stuff, but here's the rub. If you're 40 plus years old, 50 plus years old, you've lived enough life that you're gonna come with some stuff. And if you don't want a person with baggage, then you need to just forget it, because we all have bags. And my famous saying is that I don't care how many bags you have, I don't care what's in the bags. I look at how you carry your bags. Because we all have.
You can have one bag
and not carry it well. And then you can have 12 bags, and people know how to keep them, you know, gravitated in the air. They know how to keep them circulating all around them without even putting a hand on them. You know, it's all how you carry a thing. And balance in your life, especially when you're bringing somebody into your life, balance is key. Balance is key. So, yeah, the honeymoon is great.
Yeah.
But you may not have the optimal honeymoon stage. And if I could just say one more thing real shortly, you know, if the honeymoon stage is not optimal, but yet you see the potential, that's what you should focus on. You should not focus on everything that's not right. Focus on the potential of how great things are going to be once they are right. Because guess what? Would you rather know all sooner than later that a person is down for you when things are not when things are raggedy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. When stuff is raggedy, but yet you trying to be in this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you rather know that this person would stick by you should you both ever come and or face with these issues at some point in your future than for everything to be optimal and you have that wonderful honeymoon period, and then some years down the line, if, you know, because now that we're getting older, let's say if we do have a job and our jobs are trying to force us out the door because we're, you know, approaching mid-50s, early 60s, now they want to get the new blood in, they forcing us out the door, and we ain't really ready to go because we still have a life that we got to exist in, and now you don't have no money,
mm-hmm.
or you suddenly
right.
become ill.
Right.
And now you're challenged with having to pay bills with no income.
But see,
what's a person going to do? When you get sick, they're going to leave your side? Or when you lose your job, they're going to leave you? Know that. I'd rather, you know what? It ain't my choice to have raggedy up front. But if I had to, I'd take the raggedy over perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Breed, and like I said, there's both sides to it. I agree with what you're saying. And we're going to get ready to take a commercial break because we have two calls in queue, but I just want to make this point before we go. A lot of women make the mistake of falling for a guy based off what they consider his potential, okay? And potential is basically unrealized effort when you're first coming into a relationship, okay? What he's planning to do or what he wants to do or what he's telling you his thing hasn't come to fruition yet. But you like what you're hearing. So to you, he has great
potential. Listen to what I'm hearing. When I talk about potential, I'm talking about I see a person grinding to try to get something accomplished. I'm not talking
okay.
about a whole bunch of chit-chatter and, you know, and a lot of talk. No.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see
okay.
that this person is actively trying to make their circumstance better.
Mm-hmm. Right. But what I'm saying is a lot of women fall in love with a guy for his what they say is his potential, and then
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years down the road, if he hasn't reached his potential, they start losing patience and start with the craziness, okay, because it hasn't panned out the way they thought it should pan out, you know. Well, in the beginning, I thought you was going to do this. In the beginning, I thought you were going to do that, because you based it on what he could become as opposed to what he is. You see what
okay.
I'm saying?
Well, you know what? You're right. Let's take that commercial break. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna put us into commercial, and when we come back, you can take a caller. How about that?
Yeah. All right, let's do that.
All right. Please stay right. tuned to Relationship Extra.
It is very common to hear people use the phrase, I'm going to be me. I'm not changing for anybody. And they use that phrase a lot of times to suggest that nothing's wrong with them and they're fine with being who they are. But here's a question. What happens when being you leaves you with only you? You know, like you're acting the way you act and people leave the room.
You lose 2 or 3 friends at a time.
You talk to the mirror more than you talk to your best friend.
You take long walks in the park holding your own hand.
My suggestion is don't change. Don't change.
Don't change.
Because, after all, you like being you. Now, here's some problems with being you. Not considering you may end up walking through the room holding your own hand by yourself. But that's okay, because guess what? You're still being you. So, if you're liking it, I'm loving it. And remember, don't stop being you.
Don't you change, baby.
Not for anybody. Even yourself. This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
All right. And we're back here with Relationship Extra. For all you callers out there, all you listeners, I should say, please call us 424-220-1862. Please call us 424-220-1862. We got a couple of calls. Bree, you still with us?
Yes, I am with you, and thanks for having me. And
all right, babe.
Remember, this is Relationship Freestyle.
That's it.
That's right.
So,
this is the freestyle.
Freestyle for relationships, and we're going to take this next caller from the 757-535. Let's see who this is. Relationship Extra. Who am I talking to? This is Alex. There's your ship extra. Are you there? They must be listening. We get the listeners that do that. We're going to go to the next caller. This is the 917-653. We're going to find out who this is. Relationship Extra, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Red.
What's up, Red?
Hey, Red.
Hi.
Hi.
He's a blessing, Red.
Where you been? Where you been? I've been missing my fix.
You missing your
fix? Uptown, baby.
How y'all doing? How's everybody?
Oh, we good, Red. We good. We making it happen here.
Yeah, we're doing real good.
Yeah.
Good.
I know you've been listening.
Yes, well, I mean, I didn't know. I kind of got the message late, so I just tuned in like 10 minutes, maybe less than that ago.
Oh, okay.
But I'm here. I am here.
Okay. Do you have our extra freestyle throwing us tonight? Not really. Well, we'll just have a conversation, and you just chime in with your thoughts, because there is something that I wanted to get into. Because while we were away, we ran one of our shows called The Control Game, and I wanted to speak about that, because that's very, very powerful, being controlled in a relationship, particularly when you don't realize you're being controlled, and how that happens is so methodical. We get blinded in a relationship, then we end up 6, 7, 8 years down the road talking about, I lost myself in this relationship, I lost myself, I have no friends, I have no family, because it's just that methodical, you know. So when you're dealing with controlling issues, you know, you have to understand that sometimes there's a fine line between doing what your mate asks you to do, and depending on their mentality of your mate. You know, they may be asking you to do something, and you're just doing it because, you know, you love them and you want to do it for them or whatever the case may be, but they may be setting you up for something down the road just to see what you'll do, how much you'll do, how many times you'll do it, depending on the person's mindset that you're dealing with, you know. And you can end up being controlled very quickly and don't realize it. And that's a very scary, scary thing. You know, I think Stoney's on mute. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I am. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, see, I had to put that on mute because I control her. So.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. Gosh, wow.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Hey,
Red, let me
yeah.
Let me run this by you and see if it's, because we did this, we ran this show while we were away, right?
Okay.
Now, You meet a guy, nice guy, cool guy, whatever. You guys in a relationship, and things are going well. But every time you bring a friend around, or every time you want to, you know, go out or whatever with your friends, he has a problem with that. Like, you bring a friend around. Well, I don't like her. Well, why don't you like her? Well, she's this, she's that, she's the other thing. Oh, your parents don't like me. I don't want to be around your parents. Oh, blah, 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 blah. So nothing you're associated with, he likes. So in your zeal or your zest to please him, you start discounting things in your life that you like, meaning friends, family, the whole shebang. And before you know it, you're isolated with this person, because while you're pleasing them, you're eliminating people from your life that love you. So now he got you isolated. And that's part of the plan of a control freak, to get the person isolated so they have no help, they can be controlled, and now they're like, what in the world happened? What would you say to that?
Well, okay, so I've been in situations like that before when I was younger and I didn't know any better, and I thought that love is supposed to be over-consuming and you're supposed to do all that you can to make that other person happy, not realizing that the form of controlling some person is also a form of abuse. I didn't learn that until I went to college and I started taking psychology courses and things like that. When a person controls you and they do not allow you to be who you are in the relationship that you have with that person, then they are feeding on their own insecurities, their own sense of loss of who they want to be. So they want to control you so that you won't grow to look at them for who they really are and ultimately leave them. So they're always trying to figure out ways that, oh, no, if you grow, you'll leave. You can't go to school. You can't get a better job. You can't wear that outfit. You can't go out with so-and-so. Why are you on the phone so long? You don't
right.
really love me, do you? That type of stuff, that is a controlling situation for most young men, and some older men, too, who never found themselves and always afraid of being left, who really feel like they need to control their woman in their relationship because they don't know who they are, they are insecure with who they are, and they're afraid that any type of change is going to ultimately ruin the relationship. Not realizing that when she grows and she's happy, that makes your relationship with her better. But they don't think that way. They think, oh, she's going to leave me. Oh, she's doing better than me. She's going to meet some guy who's got more money than me, who looks better than me, who's more ambitious than I am. They're going to show her things that I can't show her, things that I can't give her. They're going to give her. So there always is some jealousy. And I have been in situations where I was with guys who wouldn't even allow me to have my family over because that's how insecure and ridiculous they were.
Right.
Oh, that's
trying
not
to isolate
your uncle.
You.
That's not your uncle. You sure that's your uncle? He looked too young. He looked too this. He looked too. Yes, that's my uncle. Are you kidding? Well, I don't like the way he's looking at you. He can't come over here no more. What are you talking about? I'm not telling my uncle not to come. So
and you hear how it sounds now. You're sitting here like, that sounds so crazy.
But the
controlling is so subtle at first that you just don't realize that it's when it starts and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and you're so deep in it that it takes so much for you to get out of it and break the control that sometimes it's almost dangerous.
It's very dangerous because that goes from controlling to the next thing you know, you've hemmed up in the corner.
That's it.
With a hand around your throat talking about, I thought I told you you couldn't wear that. How
exactly.
Are you that way? Why are you looking at him? I couldn't even look. I had to look straight ahead at a wall because if I looked anywhere else, I was checking out somebody else.
Right.
Like, what kind of mess is that? So that's how deep control in a person who is insecure with who they are as a man or woman, because women do it too, is a very, very tumultuous and extremely dangerous situation. And if there are any young listeners on the line or listening, please do not just get out. Don't listen to someone who's going to tell you what to wear, who to hang out with, how long you should be talking to them. Tell all your friends they can't come around anymore. Oh, you can't go to family events. Anything that makes you feel that you can't be who you are when you are with this person, that's not the person for you. You need to leave.
Well, I have a question.
Yes.
It's not quite as extreme as the, you know, saying, what are you looking at? I'll bust you upside your head and all that stuff. But let's just say you're dating someone. And you notice, like, when you're on a train or you're on the bus with them or you may be in a restaurant and there's a nice-looking woman that comes in the radius and they, you know, take more than one glance at the person. Now, do you feel you should say something? Because, you know, if you it's nothing wrong with acknowledging that somebody is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think multiple glances and stares is a little, is a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that one should approach this person that may or may not even realize that they're doing it?
Well, there's a difference between looking and appreciating what you see and gawking. I think that's what you're talking about. Okay. If your mate is gawking at other women while he's out with you,
not gawking. I'm just saying taking multiple glances.
Then that just means he's healthy. I mean, what are you going to stop? How are you going to stop?
Well, I
want to
know what the
other.
I know. I could almost guess what you were going to say, but I'd be interested.
Listen,
to know.
You can't stop that from a person from looking at other people.
No,
I mean,
and I know you can't.
You,
and I'm not saying this is me. I'm just asking a question.
Well,
what do you think about that? Because
this for everybody, okay? you can, as much as we would like to think so, we're not the most beautiful person in the world that our mate or spouse, whoever, is with. Just be appreciative that they love us and they're with us. But they're always going to be looking and looking at people that are attractive, more muscular, more shapely, longer hair, shorter hair. What, the world is full of beautiful people. You're not
right.
going to stop the person from looking. And if you try to stop them from looking, they're going to resent you for it, and it's going to cause unnecessary arguments, and that's mm-hmm. insecurity in you because
yeah.
you don't want them to look and
right.
do what's natural. Okay? They're coming home to you at the end of the day. Your me and Stoney got a running joke that we like to play. Okay? The running joke is, I don't care who you look at out there in the street, even when we're, she'll point breasts out. Alex, look at them breasts over there. They're hanging out. I may not even see the woman. She'll point them out. Okay? Because she'll know at the end of the day.
Oh, that ain't a good shape. What's happening?
What happened?
That is
it
annoying.
Was some really bad feedback.
Who's getting feedback?
Oh, I don't know. I heard it was really loud.
Oh, I don't hear it now. You hear it now?
No,
no.
It's good.
Okay. We have a running thing, and she'll point stuff out sometimes, and I'll point, you know, guys out to her or whatever the case may be. And what's funny about us doing that is that she like, listen, if you get in bed with me later tonight and you got to think about that woman and I'm getting the goods, by all means, okay, because I'm the one getting the goods. I don't care if you think about her or not.
Yeah, to me, if you look but don't touch. I mean, if that's just the way that I think that people really need to look at it. There are so many, like Alex was saying, so many beautiful women out there, so many beautiful men out there, and we tend to flaunt it. I mean, I remember in my heyday, I mean, my legs was, to me, I mean, I'm walking down the street, and someone is like, finger licking good. Okay, nice, great, you know, whatever is the case, as long as they don't touch. I never had a problem with it. Some women have a problem with it, and some men have a problem with it. But you can't, I mean, you can walk out, you can walk 2 feet and see a nice-looking dude or a nice-looking woman, and yes, you'll do a double take sometimes, or you get glance, but sometimes you see the men wanting, I have a friend that, you know, that when he's with his wife, he don't look at women. And you can see, I mean, we went to a carnival, and carnivals are filled with women with short shorts and boobs sticking out and high heels on.
He's killing himself,
and
not to look.
And,
ridiculous.
And his wife is sitting like, you know, like, hey, whatever. And so, but it's like, I mean, you look like you see his neck is just, it's like you see the vein in his neck and he wants to turn his head.
Oh, my God.
And you know, Alex is like, damn. But he's nice as I don't see nothing. You know, but when we were out of the earshot of each other, you know, he notices someone that is totally shrouded down, with covered from the head to the top, from the head to the feet, and saying that she got a nice body because he can see he's been looking that route because he's not looking at the obvious. So you got to be careful about those too. But anyway, regardless, they're going to look. So why cut that and make an unnecessary argument or unnecessary stress and just say, you know what, we got boundaries. We go down to the Virginia Beach Strip, oh, Lord, have mercy.
The women half naked down there. What am I supposed to do?
And have you seen the men? Woo!
Right.
So, and they walk across the cars at the stoplight. What are you supposed to do? Just not, I mean, you're going to watch him. You're going to sit there. They're coming from the beach. They have no clothes on. What are you going to do?
Well,
you just say, you know what? That's what you got to do.
What do you say, Bree?
No, I just wanted to let you know that you have another caller from 757-535.
And I'm gonna get that call right now. We're gonna find out who that is. And everybody, please call in 424-220-1862, 424-220-1862. Who do we have on the line here? Our extra tonight.
You should know it's Kenny.
Who's this?
Kenny.
Kenny.
What? Is that hot chocolate latte?
You have been officially dubbed.
What's up, Bree?
I, Queen Bree, officially dub the night Kenny hot chocolate latte.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I'll take that.
What's up, dude?
Nothing much. Just been sitting here listening in. That was me on the line before. I must have hit pushed one by mistake and then dropped the call.
Yeah, I tried to get you. You were gone.
Yeah. I was listening. I was like, crap, how do I get back? I've been listening. Hey, Red, how you doing?
Hey, honey, how are you?
I'm all right. Hey, see, y'all acting up, talking about people at the beach. Y'all acting up. Stop it.
Well, I mean, if you got eyeballs, you're going to look. My whole thing is that if I'm secure with myself, which I am, I don't mind you looking. I don't have a problem with you looking. I hope that he wouldn't have a problem with me being looked at. Most guys that I know that I date now want to know who was looking at you today, who was checking you out, what you was
right.
doing. They love that stuff because that's a turn on. But
yep.
what I have a problem with is I'm with him and he's checking her out and he's making comments and licking his lips. And now, come on now. No, I don't want all of that. I want all of the, ooh, damn, you know, things I could do. Don't you think you know what? No. No, I don't want all of that. I
want to
appreciate, because I can appreciate a good-looking woman. If she's good-looking and she's sexy and she got on a cute little outfit, I can appreciate all that. But don't be taking it to the next level, so now I have to hit you in the head with my purse. Now, come
right.
on.
Right.
So that's
yeah. my... He just ain't got his photographic memory intact yet, that's all.
Yeah,
you know. He got to keep talking about it so he can remember it. You know, he can't just take
that's
a quick glance.
Yeah, well, see, there's good, clean fun, and then there's being disrespectful.
Right.
And
yeah,
that's the difference.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
About who you with. I one of the boys. I'm your woman. Don't be old damning in front of me. Like, oh, damn, did you see that? Wait, hold on. Do you see me? Hello?
Right.
Why
yeah.
But, yeah, you don't want to, definitely don't want to disrespect.
Yeah.
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 Well, but what was that dude in to play that game? I'm a man, ain't I?
Yeah.
Well, Kenny, you know, you've been listening for a little while. Do you have a freestyle, you know, relationship topic you want to bring up, question, anything like that?
Not really. I just wanted to chime in on y'all talking about looking at other folks, you know.
So we chime in.
I mean, it's just, you know, like you said, you got to be, you know, one with your mate. If you understand that, hey, look, I'm going home with them, I mean, it's a little far to be talking about thinking about somebody else while I'm doing my thing. But anyway, I mean, but y'all have an understanding that, hey, look, there's going to be beautiful people out there. You acknowledge it and keep it moving. But like Bree said, there's a point where you go overboard where, you know, you foaming at the mouth, you know, that's just not cool.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, that's not cool, you know, but, and I love to let somebody look at my woman while I'm walking down the street. I'm like, yeah, this is mine. You can't have
right.
it.
Right.
You know, so it's
exactly.
all good to me.
I mean, because how ridiculous is it for you to be walking down the street with your woman, beautiful woman come your way, you look at her and turn back. Now you know you're going home to an argument the rest of the night for a woman that don't even know you exist.
I'm not turning back. Sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Remember that scene at the end of the Boomerang movie when Eddie turned around
uh-huh.
and was trying to turn around and Halle Berry was like, if you even think about
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
yeah, that's crazy. That to me is just crazy because he's going to look anyway.
Right.
Whether he's with her or not with her, he's still going to be looking. And if you're busy trying to stop a man who's been a player for years and he's got those tendencies, he may not be acting on them, then if all he's doing right now is looking, then that should be no looking to be.
Well, hold on. See, now you're interested. Now bringing something else into it. You got to realize, like you said, he was a player for years, but he didn't stop playing when he was with her. He got caught playing. So
well,
that's a whole other ball game right there.
Right. But he reformed by the end of the movie.
No,
so my question to that was, did he really reform? I always wanted a boomerang, too, because I always wanted to know, what was the next chapter like? Did he really reform? Did he go back and sneak his little tete-a-tete with Miss Dan Robin Givens? Like, you know, I always wondered that, because is it really realistic to believe that his heart fell for this woman, he fell in love with her, and all of a sudden all his Playboy ways went out the window and died when he fell in love?
Let me tell you something.
Hold on, just can we get feedback somewhere? I'm not sure. Bree, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, I don't know. Somebody may be on a call list or a cell phone, maybe getting a little bit of disturbance. But go ahead, Kenny.
No, I was just saying, you know, I mean, that's just like being an alcoholic. He always going to be a player, but you can keep those things at bay. So, I mean, to be a reformed player, I mean, you always going to have that tendency, whether you, you know, go step forward with that tendency or not. You're always going to have it. You're always going to have that thought of, yeah, I could get it. And I could get away with it and everything else. But you can still say, you know what, I love this person. This is the person I'm happy with. All of that means nothing. But you're still going to have the tendency, just like an alcoholic walking past a bar, their mouth starts getting dry and watery and everything, and start going, I could just get one shot of bourbon and I'll be all right.
But here's a difference with this, with that analogy. You're saying alcoholics or drugs or whatever. The alcohol and the drugs really don't come at you. You come at it, where people can be relentless.
Hold on. Wait.
And then you can say no. How many times are you going to say no before sister girl says, you know what? No does not mean no to me.
Well,
that's just turning me on and coming at you more. You know,
can come at you, Stoney. Let's just say, I'm in the motorcycle community. I go to motorcycle parties all the time.
Yeah.
And most of the time, they're BYOB. And I got a lot of friends. So if I'm an alcoholic and I want to continue going to motorcycle parties, there's plenty of people walking around with a bottle going, hey, Ram, take a drink. And I'm constantly going, nope. Just like them girls are walking around in their short skirts and their bustiers, whatever you want to call them, or this, you know, right now, the summer dresses. Good Lord, summer dresses. you know what I'm saying? It's fair. And you just gotta be strong enough to push it away. Just like
if you're
a chronic overeater, you gotta push it away.
But you know, Kenny, it's interesting because a lot of women don't subscribe to this, but I've heard a lot of women say this, and it's most specifically women who are married to affluent men. Or married to entertainers, or married to athletes. And I've heard women say this a lot. And they said, listen, I love my husband. I know him well. But when I married him, I knew what I was getting into, which means I knew I was getting in a situation with a man who was going to have infidelity, who liked to party. But he loves me, and he takes care of his family, and he gives us a great place to live and a great life. But I knew what I was getting into with the parties and the women. So they accept that almost. So what do you say to that, Kenny, Red, or Bree?
Okay, well.
It comes with the lifestyle. It's a territory. It's the territory of the vet.
Well, my freestyle would be my freestyle is not about question that Alex just posed. It is going back to the player. I was having a conversation earlier this afternoon, and we were talking about the level of honesty that happens at the beginning of a relationship, especially when you're using multiple forms of dating and meeting people. Like, let's use this as an example, internet dating. When you have found one person who you decided that you're going to interact with, or to, for lack of a better statement, you're going to be exclusive with, and you both say, okay, I'm shutting down my profile. I'm deleting my profile because I'm happy with this. I want to devote all my attention and not be distracted in developing this. But then something happens and you find out that the person, the other person didn't keep their word. And their profile is still up. And they told mm-hmm. you that it wasn't up anymore. How do you deal with that?
Oh, I was about to say, did they tell you they were shutting theirs down, but you got that covered. Okay, never mind.
Well, I'm sorry?
No. I was about to say, but you brought it up because I was going to say, just because you shut yours down, what made you think they were shutting theirs down? But you said they said they was going to shut theirs down. So you're entering into the realm of they lied to you.
Right.
Right. Basically.
Right. And here's what I have to say to that is, if the person don't willingly do it on their own, anytime you have to force a person in a relationship to do something that you want done or as per your request, they won't do it on their own, first of all, they're going to do it reluctantly. And then mm-hmm. they may come to resent you for it down the road. Some anger may come with that, or resentment. She made me do it. I really didn't want to do it, but she, you know. You have to give people opportunity to really say to themselves, okay,
I'm
going to stop A, B, or C because I'm in a relationship now, or I've made a commitment, so I'll stop it. But when you start getting in a position where you got to make people do stuff, it's a whole other issue that you're going to be dealing with, if not immediately, sometime down the road, in my opinion.
Well, in my opinion, I think that what you would do is you would voice your concerns about it. Let them make the decision to do so, because then you'll see, because you can't really make anyone do anything and it'll flow through. So if you say, look, in the way that I am, I'm committed to a person, any outsiders of how I used to, you know, communicate that would be a potential threat to any relationship, I shut it down. And I expect the same respect in return. And so that you're giving them that, okay, the bug is in their ear. But if it doesn't, then that means I know where I stand if it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're still giving them the choice as opposed to saying, shut it down, you know, I don't like it. And because what's going to happen is not only there's a lie there, but there's also a potential thing of them doing something else underhanded and doing it in another location or doing something under a different name, and you come to find out later, and then it's going to create a whole nother situation.
And that's what happens when you force people to do something they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. They'll find other avenues in which to do it.
But I say just voice it. You let them make their choice of where you stand, and then you keep it going. And say, hey, you know what? I can't. I'm. That's not me. I'm out. Or you just keep everything at bay at that point,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to
that was my
making yourself more committed to that person.
That me and a couple of people were having earlier today, and I kind of feel the same way. You know, a person has to feel as though they're ready to do something. Else, mm-hmm. like Alex said, if they're forced to do it, they're going to be doing it with hesitation
mm-hmm.
and reluctant, and you know, organically. Things should mushroom to a place where you both feel that there's nothing more important than what's going on between you and that person. So, of course, there are other people out in the world all day long, but what's happening right here is what I'm digging. And, you know, you got to come to a place of feeling that organically.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Right. Red, Kenny.
Yes. Well, I agree with what both Bree and Stoney said. I agree that, but I believe this should be a mutual situation. It shouldn't be me wanting you to do it and then you all, well, you know, I don't know if I'm there yet, kind of thing. I don't think that I should have to ask you. If it's something that we both agree on doing, then we should both go ahead and do it. I agree with that. I don't agree an ultimatum. You do this or I'm gonna leave. Or we can't, you know, I don't agree with that. If we are supposed to be exclusive, then it should be understood. Why would you
mm-hmm.
continue to be on a dating site if we're exclusive? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then if I see you shut it down, and I find out later that you have another page, which would kind of make me wonder how would I find that out unless I'm tracking you. I'm a firm believer in that.
Now you're a stalker.
Don't go looking for stuff. Yeah, don't, because you're going to find it. And if you miss, you know, then naturally it's going to come to you and you're going to find out. But if
you
find out about a page, it's like, how do you know that that's even a page? How do you find out? Then that means you must be tracking, dude. And if you're tracking him like that, then there is no trust on your part. And if you are insecure and untrustworthy of that person, then that's not the person for you. You don't have no business being with them if you have to be checking their phone and checking what pages they're on and who they call and when they're coming home and all that. That's that whole thing we go back to earlier about controlling. That's just, you have to be your whole self. And unfortunately, a lot of us are not our whole selves. When we get into relationships, we expect to become whole because we now found who we thought is our ultimate soulmate. But you have to be your whole self to find that soulmate. Because if you're not, then you're cheating that person. Exactly. You're only giving a person a part of who they think you are. And then you show them something later, like, oh, damn, you know, I can't go nowhere. I can't hang out with fellas because she's checking my phone and she's blowing me up. And then
that's called showing them your representative.
It's like, that's crazy. That is not a mutual relationship. So if you shut down your page in front of her or in front of him, and then for some reason they find out that you have another page, my question would be, how the hell you know?
Right.
That would be my question. And as soon as you tell me, oh, well, I saw it because you did, then I'm leaving because you are not talking to me.
She know there's another one out there because she was still looking too.
That's crazy.
Well, you know how the old saying goes, be careful what you look for, you just might find it.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah. Go looking.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna say this right now. We're gonna take a quick commercial break because we're gonna show everybody how bad Bree is. We're talking about Bree Nice. You know what I mean? Bree Nice from uptown. So we're gonna go Bree Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. You should not even put me and Uptown in the same sentence. I know there is an individual that's probably listening that's cracking up right now because where am I from? Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Brown Heights all day.
Put
you upside your head.
you said it earlier, so I'm just, you know, I'm trying to do the breathe nice. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Ain't got no money making.
We're gonna take
a
little commercial break and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Here we go.
Relationship Extra, and your host Stoney and Alex are freestyling.
Hey. All right, we're just calling her Bree Nice.
Oh,
I love that. I love it. I got a question for everybody, and this may seem, you know, infantile in its nature, but it's very important as it deals with relationships and how we progress and mature. What's the difference between being dumb and being stupid? What's the real difference between the two?
Isn't that Welcome Back, Carter?
Yeah.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Yeah, Horseshack. So what's the difference?
Oh,
my
goodness.
Well, see, me, the way I define it.
Derek,
you're going to say anybody, and then you're going to take over.
Nobody's saying nothing.
You didn't give him a chance.
Okay.
I want nice hot chocolate to say something.
Well, that, I mean, it all depends on the terminology dumb and stupid, because dumb could just mean a lack of knowledge. If you mean just, you know, the person's just dumb because they just don't know, that's one thing. But if you're just saying stupid things out of your mouth or doing stupid things, that's a whole nother. You know, stupid can get left by the curbside. Dumb can be taught. So,
yeah.
Well, Forrest Gump says stupid is as stupid does.
You know what I mean? So it's just a matter of what the situation is, you know. Just for instance, if you know, let's just say, you know, I'm with you and you just ignorant, just don't know what. Okay, you can learn, I can teach you. But if you just say stupid things out of your mouth, and you know, even going back to what we were saying about the, you know, you know, the guys and girls walking down the street and they see somebody and she says something stupid about a dude. I mean, just real stupid. Like, dude got on a pair of Speedos and she says something stupid. I don't know if she's going to laugh.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a difference. So, I mean, what you got to say about that, Bree or Red?
I'm going to let Red take that one.
You going to let Red take that one?
I'm just trying to figure out in the context of what, because, I mean, you could be stupid and dumb in many different facets. It's not...
Let me clear it up, then.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me clear it up, because they sound one and the same, but in actuality, all of us on the phone, all of us who live and breathe, we all do dumb things from time to time. You know, we make those mistakes. We do things and we be like, damn, that was dumb. Why did I do that? You know, we all do it. But when you just stupid, see, dumb is a temporary condition. Stupid is forever. Just like Bree said, stupid is and stupid does. When you're a stupid person, you're almost hopeless. And you can see them and you can look at a person and they talk to you time and time again and you just say, you know what, you're just stupid. You know, because ain't no hope for them.
Yeah, those
you're trying to help
named,
them.
Those people get named Brick.
What was that?
Yeah, I said those people get nicknamed Brick because they're stupid as a brick.
Stupid as a, dumb as a bag of rocks. You know? And you like, don't you get it? So, to me, that's the biggest difference. It's like El Chocolate, they say. A dumb person can... yeah. That's our new name, El Chocolate.
Okay.
I feel like I should be going to Starbucks or something, ordering. You know, can I get some whipped cream? Like, come on.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Okay.
But it's like he said, dumb can be taught. Stupid, that's a whole nother issue. You know, and to me, that's the biggest difference. Particularly if you're in a relationship with a stupid person and you don't consider yourself to be a stupid person, it's time you start considering some alternatives.
I'm about to say, who's the stupid person to stay in a relationship with a stupid person?
Right.
I don't know. It's funny because I used to, my daughter, she was always complaining about her ex-boyfriend. And she came to me one day and she said, Mom, I'm just going to get a T-shirt and I'm going to be, and the front of the T-shirt is going to have an arrow on it. And it's going to say I'm with stupid, pointing to him. And I said, then on the back, it should be, and I chose him on the back. Because why are you going to point out the fact that you with someone who's stupid? You with him. So what is that
right.
mean? So I always tease her. She said, no, Mom, you don't understand what I'm saying. No, I understand what you're saying. But look at the situation. Why are you complaining if this is who you chose? Don't complain. You know that's how he is. So stop.
Ooh, wasn't that a show a few weeks ago?
You know, so I don't know. I just think.
Right.
I think
don't complain. You chose him, right?
Absolutely. Why are you complaining? You chose him. So, yeah, there's a to me, in my old world of wisdom, in my opinion, I think that when I was in my 20s, and when we're all in our 20s, we're going through phases of experimentation. We don't know who the hell we are. We don't know what we're doing.
Right.
It's all over the damn place. So the stupefied 20s last a decade. By the time you get out of your stupefied 20s and get into your 30s, you can go ahead and maybe make some dumb mistakes, realizing that those mistakes you should not have done, and they were dumb, and you got to get over it and learn from it and move on. But if you are still continuing your stupefied nation on into your 30s and your 40s, then, yeah, you're completely lost. There's just something wrong with you. There's completely – You know what? I'm sorry. Because I just got a thought. I have a freestyle for today. I was in Pathmark. There was a woman who was ranting on the phone about how she was completely over this old 61-year-old man who nobody wanted. She was screaming at the top of her lungs, "Don't nobody want you with your old wrinkly ass? Don't nobody need you? Are you serious? No, F you. I mean, she was going off.
I
can't believe I was with you for 7 years. 7 years of my life, you did nothing but ruin my reputation. You brought me down. You ain't worth a damn. And I cried all night over you. But then in the same breath, she said, "I got a man. He lives down south. That's my boo. But I don't want you." My question is, I don't understand. I'm confused. First of all, you shouldn't be shouting that out in the middle of the damn supermarket like everybody can hear you. I don't understand.
Right.
I don't know if she's looking for validation or what the hell she was doing. But if you man for 7 years, it took you 7 years to realize that that wasn't the one for you. You cried over him all night long, but then in the next breath, you got a man. Are you stupid or dumb?
Actually, what she is hurt. That other man probably don't exist, and she's screaming at the top of her lungs because she's trying to validate herself. And the fact that she still loves him, he hurt her at some point, whether it's him trying to break up with her or whatever. And the thing is, people do that, and it kills me when people do that. You know, that you hurt, and you're trying to do everything within your power to hurt the person back, and you'll say anything, I've recently been through this in a friendship, on a friendship level, where, you know, somebody got their feelings hurt behind something someone else told them that wasn't true. However, because your feelings were hurt, now you're screaming at me at the top of your lungs and cursing me out and everything because you're hurt. And the worst thing I could do is to fall for it and to facilitate it and argue back, because then now you got an argument, which is what they want. They want your attention anyway. So this girl, she's got this guy that she's obviously in love with. She's been with for 7 years, so she's going, "Oh, nobody wants you, nobody wants you." No, you want him. You're probably somewhere crying tonight because you don't have him. The guy down south, he don't want you. It's just crazy. You know, because you go back and forth, and she's screaming at the top of her lungs around people she don't know, telling all her business, and all that is she's hurt. Now her hurt caused her to do something stupid, which was screaming in the store. You know, so that wasn't even a dumb moment. That was a stupid moment, because now you look like the fool because you're screaming on your phone.
Yeah,
right.
And people trying to get the hell away from her. It was comical. I was like,
what she didn't realize. And maybe she did and just didn't care. But what she was doing reflected more on her than it did on the person she was screaming at.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it said more about her. It's like, why do you feel a need to do this? Why do you feel a need to go off in the store and act like this and try to belittle this person in front of everybody? Mm-hmm. Does it make you look or feel more important or whatever the case is?
I have a question. Red. How old would you say that this woman was?
She was out.
In her 40s? Red.
I think we lost Red. She'll be back.
I think before we lost her, she said she's around our age. The woman was probably around our age.
Well, yeah. The bad thing is the dude, the 61 on the other end, was probably screaming as well. So now wherever he was, you want to see him screaming. And he's 61.
Yeah.
He should have been going, click.
It's not because of the age gap that I was shocked at. It was the amount of aggression that she felt that she had to display in the middle of a supermarket like that. If you was with someone for 7 years and you valued those 7 years, and he may have done whatever he didn't do, whatever it was to make her have a damn meltdown, then to me that made me feel like you should have had a little bit more decorum for your own self. Self-respect for your own self than to do that like that. That's the way I saw it.
But, Red, you know what that sounds like? It sounds like to me, and Kenny alluded to this, it sounds like she's angry, but it sounds like she's angry at herself because of the decision she made to stay in this so long. And this is how me and Stoney always talk about how you stay too long. Because once you realize something is not working and it's not getting any better, no matter what you do, it's not getting any better, it's not enough, you got to start considering some alternatives. Because the longer you stay, you get angrier and angrier by the day. And then this stuff can explode and even many times become violent. Because now you're so mad at yourself because you're like, I gave this person all I can give them, I've done all I can do, and this is how they are, this is how they act. Mm-hmm. And you're ready to go off and kill something. You know, it can blow up at any moment. Hers blew up in the supermarket. And she's probably thinking about a guy that was probably much better for her, who she didn't appreciate or couldn't appreciate. She chose the wild, crazy, or gangster dude, or whatever the type of guy she thought she was attracted to. Didn't get what she thought. Now she's pissed off. Now she wanna bring up the other guy. I should have been over here, but I'm here stuck with you. She's angry at herself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just found it interesting. It just popped in my head. So, yeah, that was my freestyle. I didn't know who to feel sorry for, her or him or both, because it was just a completely random situation in the middle of the day. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When she was going off like that. And I just felt like, wow, I knew she was in pain, and that was the reason why she was speaking out. But damn, that poor man,
the person you should feel sorry for is the next person in line, because he going to catch hell.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That's the truth.
Yep.
That is the truth.
She's going to carry all of that, what you were talking about earlier, baggage, into the next relationship. And that dude's going to be dumb, because he's going to stay with her.
Yeah, because he's going to try to fix her.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? You can't fix anybody. I've been in a relationship where I tried to fix people, and you will get so frustrated. You will get so angry because your intentions are good. You like, well, I see your shortcomings. That's my cat somewhere around here. I see the shortcomings. I see where you're short. I see why I'm short. And you want to play doctor. You want to play God. You want to fix everything. You want to fix everybody. And when it don't work out the way you thought it should work out, we get very, very angry. Because of the effort we put in, we see it as a waste of time, particularly if it's years and years and years of the same stuff, man. It don't make any sense. It's almost like, you know, you talk to your spouse about, listen, I like certain things in the bed, okay? Now, let's say they did it in the beginning, but at some point they stopped. And you're like, well, why'd you stop? Well, this is what I like in the bed. And you're talking to them over and over and over again, and they don't do it. And you talk again, they don't do it. Years go by, months go by, this go by. At some point, you got to say, okay, I've done enough talking. They don't want to do it. So what are my options? And you have to be realistic in that, because there's a part of you that's unfulfilled that this person either refuses to do out of selfishness or don't have it in them to do. So what do you do in that situation?
Okay, so here's my freestyle question.
Oh, it's alive.
Yeah, right. But no, for real. In that instance, do you go and be with somebody that gives you something that your spouse or your partner doesn't give you, or do you just try to be creative and try to come to a middle ground as to how you can, you know, okay, I like this, but you ain't really feeling that, so mm-hmm. let's find something else. Because mm-hmm. what's more important, the feeling that's going to last for, you know, luckily an hour,
mm-hmm.
or the relationship?
Right.
So I had to, I'm sorry, my brother, I had to expand on what you're saying because, mm-hmm. you know, always that option that people allow themselves is to think, you know, if I'm not getting it here, should I go over there and get it? Because, you know, the grass is greener on the other side perspective.
Well, it's just like this, Bree. You have to ask yourself and know within yourself, honestly. And the hardest thing that people can do is be honest with themselves. That's difficult for people. But you have to ask yourself, honestly, what is it in my life that I can do without? If I can do without it and just maintain this relationship, that's all well and good. But if I know this thing is going to be nagging at me and nagging at me because it's something that I desire, it's something that's innately embedded in me, if I'm not getting this from the person that I'm with, then what do I do? What are my options? What are my alternatives?
Well, I have heard, if I may, and I'm about to get a little graphic on our extra.
Okay.
So excuse me, people.
This grown folk talk.
It's not something that, you know, I customarily do, but I'm going to be, you know, very blunt and say, I know a guy said in my presence to another woman that he was considering marrying, that if they did not have anal sex, he was not going to marry her because that's not something that he wanted to live in his marriage, being able to be without.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, are you serious? You gonna let this beautiful, intelligent, you know, productive woman go because you can't pluga? What the hell is that?
That got nothing to do with the butthole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how smart she is. I don't care how much money she got. He want that butthole.
Okay, question. I have a question. How long they been together?
I think they were seeing one another for like 2 years.
2 years. So he ain't had none of that in 2 years. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden now he's engaged and going to switch it up on her and say, we got to do this or we not getting married.
He doesn't want to get married.
Okay. She need to give the ring back and send dude
yep.
on his way. Because
yep.
she met his representative for 2 years and now all of a sudden, the dude, you want to come
representative.
Out? Done. Done.
Unless Kenny.
Now, hold on a second. But the same thing goes the opposite way. If I'm with you, and I'm with you all the time.
Hello?
That's Bree acting crazy.
But the same thing goes the other way. If I like something, and we, just like she was talking about, and you know, you've been giving it to me, and then all of a sudden it just drop off and it's gone, like you were saying, then something's wrong. Because as far as I'm concerned, if I'm with you and we together, then I need to get what I need to get from you. And if you were giving it to me before and you're not giving it to me now, what's the problem? We need to, I mean, that's where communication comes in. Because
right.
if we don't communicate with each other,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, somebody's going to communicate with somebody else.
Yeah.
Communication is going to be more than verbal.
Right.
Go ahead and do that. You ain't putting in work, somebody else going to put in the work for you.
Right.
That's right. That's
the
right.
bottom line. What you won't do, somebody else will.
That's
I mean, that's
it.
What it comes down to.
Yep.
You know, now, I'm not saying, you know, she should marry him or he should marry her just to have anal sex with her. That's ridiculous. But we don't know all the particulars either. She could have been telling him for the last 2 years, oh, no, I'm going to do it one day. No, I'm going to do it soon. Tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We don't know what's been going on. And now he's up to the point where he's fed up with it.
Well, now, see, he was stupid.
Right.
Because he fell for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so was she, because she should have let it be known from the beginning. And we could communicate all day with each other, but we don't communicate effectively. And
mm-hmm.
that's sad. And that's why a lot of relationships that should work don't, because you hear something, but you're not listening. We all have ears, but no one's listening. And it makes
right.
absolutely no sense for me to be in a relationship with you for 2 years if I told you I'm not getting down like that. And you're thinking, well, when we get married, all bets are off. If you don't,
I mean,
no, I wasn't doing it in the beginning. So why are you trying to trap me? Why are you trying to threaten me? Now you're trying to manipulate me? Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous. So you don't
that's wrong.
Not for some behind.
We done right there.
So
yeah, I agree with that.
Any of that. I don't appreciate it at all. I think at the beginning we should lay it out on the table. I play this game, and I don't even really want it to be called a game because it really isn't a game, but I do the scenarios type thing. I have about 20 different scenarios. The what if this, the what would you do that kind of thing, because I want to know. I want to know right off the bat, in what situation would you think or would you do or how would you feel type thing when we get to know each other,
mm-hmm.
so that I can get your natural, honest reaction, so that when 2 years roll down the line, I don't get this surprise answer from you to my wall, you know, like, there's all the law. I don't know why you tripping. What? No. You didn't care. Are you crazy? You said you didn't care. No, I know you said you didn't care. You said, no, but I was just saying that because... No. See, we're not communicating effectively, and that's the problem I constantly keep having. People, guys say one thing, but they really mean something else. Women say one thing, but then we want to change it later, and we accept it for now because we think we're going to.
I like that one.
You know, it's this constant game that we're both playing. We got the male playing his game. With the, she don't really mean that. I am going to do whatever I'm going to do. She'll roll with it. And then the woman thinking, oh, girl, I'm going to change him. Don't worry, I'm going to love him up real good. He's going to change. He ain't going to change.
Never.
Folks,
don't do it. Don't you believe it.
That's right. That's right.
That's what you know from the beginning.
He said it.
I'm not your booty girl. That ain't me. It goes out, nothing comes in. So if that's what you're looking for, then we should not be together, period.
Mm-hmm.
We could be cool. We could be friends. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. Not when we're married, not before we're married, ever.
Yeah, that's a real communication thing. You have to know what your partner likes prior to. You can't strong-arm them a day before the wedding or after they're engaged, you know, we're going to be doing this or that. I'm a firm believer in, you know, when you marry somebody or decide to go into a serious relationship with somebody that's going to lead to engagement and marriage, sex should be something that's totally open, uninhibited.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to be totally free. What? You're naked in front of them. How more open can you get?
Right,
all
vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean
that's your most vulnerable time. Yeah.
Oh, so to me, you should be totally uninhibited, and other than the, let's not even get into stupid stuff, golden showers and defecating on people. That's just crazy.
Yes, let's not
even getting to that.
No,
I'm talking about pure
openness.
Shut the
front door.
Yeah.
And the back door.
Right.
Close the windows, shut the shutters. Damn it.
You ain't peeing on me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, golden showers.
No.
Okay. So.
No, won't be no bloodshed. No.
So, but I think you should be totally uninhibited sexually with your partner. And you shouldn't be afraid to experiment and try new things and all these different kind of things. You can't be a person that just get into a relationship or a marriage and you're serious with the person, but you insist on just laying on your back. I like it this way. I just like it this way. Okay, well, let's try some. Let's go out on the terrace or the balcony. Bend over the balcony. Let's do it that way. Let's, you got to do that because in relationships, that's my daughter back there acting crazy. In relationships, we all know that romance period ends real quick, and then it becomes work. And once you reach that work period, then you have to decide. What are you willing to do to keep this person happy? Because in the beginning, it's just a freak fest in the beginning, in most relationships early on. It's a freak fest for maybe 2 or 3 years. Then after that, the work starts to set in. You know, you're accustomed to each other. You don't fart in each other's face. You done belched in each other's face.
Why it's got to be fart in the face?
I fart in your face.
Oh, no, sir. Don't
fart
in that guy.
Wow.
No, you don't.
No, that's not going to happen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, I'm not dumb nor stupid, okay?
Oh,
that ain't gonna happen.
But y'all know what I mean. Just everything becomes routine at some point, and it really becomes work. As much as you love the person, it really becomes work. And you have to reconcile to the fact that this is no longer purely instinctual or natural to want to jump on this person every night. You know, it's just not there, particularly when kids come in, bills, household duties, all that kind of stuff. It's just not there anymore the same way it once was. You know, so you have to really communicate and understand what it is you want and expect and how to maintain and get back to where you were. That's hard. That's work. But you have to be willing to do it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people aren't. They figure, okay, I don't want to work. I want to go out here and find something that I can be new and fresh with again. And there's that grass is greener junk. Okay.
Okay.
So you may get,
My next freestyle is.
Okay. There we go.
My next freestyle. And this is an important point because you know what I hear a lot about is sex.
Mm-hmm.
But what about I always tell a person it's more important for me to understand you while we're vertical than it is when we're horizontal. Because by the time we're horizontal, I'm going to be so vulnerable because the clothes are going to be off, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
I should really be comfortable with you in order for me to even get to that point. But what I don't hear enough about intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially when you're in long-term relationships or you're married, don't we realize that, you know, the body dynamic changes for both men and women? The scales, you know, the pendulum shifts where men are at their highest peak in their 20s and their 30s, and then once they start slide up to 40, 50, you know, their libido drops.
Mm-hmm.
And then women, they're on the pendulum. Once they start approaching their mid-30s, 40s, into their 50s, they're at their sexual peak.
Yeah.
So we're never really at our peaks together unless we're in our 30s. At the same, usually men and women are at their sexual peaks together in their 30s. So, all right, now as these pendulums are going in opposite directions, what else is happening between you and the person? Like Music Soul Child said, you know, yeah, I love you when your hair turns gray. I love you if you gain a little weight. So as we're moving on into middle age and senior years, you know, we got health issues and all that kind of stuff. What about the intimacy? Because the intimacy is what sustains the relationship. It's what builds and makes the sexual experience exciting. I never hear enough about men and women being intimate with one another.
Well, we talk about that.
That's
all the
my
time.
Freestyle.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time, and people confuse intimacy with sex, and it's not the same thing.
No.
You know, intimacy, as I always say, that's holding hands. That's calling your spouse during the day. I love you. I'm thinking about you. That's hugging and cuddling, watching a movie. See, all that stuff is intimacy. Intellectual conversation is intimacy, you know, stimulation, conversation. That's intimacy, and sex is the culmination of all of that, okay? But I will also say this. You know how, you know, you can have frog legs and people say, oh, that tastes like chicken. Or you can have a certain burger. And
or Ritz cracker.
That tastes like a McDonald's burger. You know, you can compare certain things to other things. There's nothing on this earth you can compare to having an orgasm. Ain't nothing else like it. Okay? So when you desire that orgasm and you've had it, it's a wrap. You want to have that orgasm. So,
but there is still a difference with orgasms. There's still a little difference because if you're having an orgasm with someone that you really care about or you're in love with, it feels totally different than having an orgasm with someone that you're just casually having sex with.
Absolutely. Amen.
What you say, Brent?
I agree.
No, that was Bree. I said absolutely amen.
Yeah. I agree
with
that.
There is a difference.
See, but there are people who are just sexual partners who have great physical chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And the sex is great. They ain't even in love. They just have great physical body chemistry together when they come together as one.
But
I will agree that when there's love and caring and that kind of stuff, it does feel better. Because otherwise, you're just busting off.
Yep. I agree.
What was that, El Chocolate?
I said, but there's no intimacy in that.
No, there isn't.
No.
But I think some people don't really know what intimacy is.
Right.
So when they see it, they don't recognize that's what that is. And they're
My
thinking.
My brother broke it down pretty good. I like that.
Huh?
I said Alex broke it down pretty good. I like that.
I know. Yeah, he broke it down to us. But out there for people who don't get it or don't recognize it when they do get it, they're just saying, you sit there and you call me 50 million times. What you calling me for? They take it and they see it as something else and not realizing what this person was doing. You know, to me, I think that we make love differently, meaning like we make love this. People know physically we make love in the bed. But in all honesty, we make love to each other with your partner on a daily basis during the day. You know, you're calling them and you're having these conversations on the phone with them. Now we got texting, you know, we can text and, hey, I just wanted to see how your morning was. That's you are doing a form of a foreplay. You're doing a form of intimacy, having an intimate moment, I should say, with your person, because you can't be in the bed all day with them, so you have to, especially for women. I'm sorry, and this may be my relationship freestyle. Men, please, you got to let us get warmed up so that we can be ready for you. So warm us up. Don't wait till we get in the door and say, take off your pants, and then you're ready. We're not always ready. We got the day on us. We got to get the kids who's screaming and they need to eat. We got to sit there and make sure that the dog gets taken out outside and then the house gets cleaned up and all that stuff. And then maybe we can take care of that, unfortunately,
hey,
sometimes.
I thought y'all like spontaneity.
We do like spontaneity, but you guys, but when you guys are ready, y'all forget about sitting there getting yourselves ready, but y'all forget that we got to get ready. Y'all don't even tell us that y'all ready. Y'all just sitting there, I'm ready, and I'm sitting like, but I'm in the middle of washing dishes and got to pee on the floor.
I have a perfect example of what intimacy is, and I'm going to download this song for Thursday for the freestyle. But the name of the artist, his name is, wait a minute, last name is Boykins. And the name of the song is called Pantyhose. Now, you want to understand what intimacy is? You download that song.
Good.
And that's what, I mean, that's, oh, Jesse Boykins III, and okay. The name of the song is Pantyhose. And you want to understand what intimacy is? You got to listen to that song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we're going to revisit this because that's going to be my freestyle on my show for Thursday. I think we often talk about sex because it's everywhere. It's in, I mean, the kid, 9-year-olds know about it. It's on TV. It's in these damn rap songs. The videos is exuding sex. But nobody is talking enough about intimacy. And I think that's another reason why young men don't respect women, young women, the way they should. Because of two reasons. They're not, they're unfortunate in not having a good role model in their home to watch how their father respects their mother or how, even if their parents aren't married, whatever, how their fathers respect their mother, how they show them passion, care, and affection.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not learning how to be intimate beings.
Right.
You know, how to hold a door open, how to hold a girl's hand, how to put... Young men don't know how to dance with women.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew was up here a few weeks ago, and I was dancing with my nephew, trying to show him how a boy should dance with a girl.
And he was not getting into it.
Shout out to my nephew, Kasem.
Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah.
And I got that on videotape, so if he ever act up,
I'm going to
blow his spot up.
Yeah.
That's my point. You know, there's not enough men taking on leadership roles and teaching their sons how to care for a woman that's worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And all women, from the wine old woman in the street to Michelle Obama, they all deserve respect, even if they don't warrant it. They deserve respect. And if you can't respect a woman, that doesn't mean she has to be disrespected. You just move around.
Mm-hmm.
That's my freestyle.
Let me say this real quick. I have to agree with that because I raised girls. I raised my sister Tasha. I raised her from a baby because my mother was disabled. I raised my daughter, Aisha, who's now 21. I have another daughter. And I always take my daughters on dates. I buy them Valentine's gifts. I always try to show them how a man is supposed to treat them so when they go out in the world, they know what to expect from a man and understand what not to tolerate. So
say
I've always done that.
Say it again, Alex. Say it again. Say it again.
Say it again. Yes, loud.
Yeah. So I've always done that for the girls in my life. But I will say this about young men. Naturally, we are made a certain way. We're made as visual beings. And that's not the intimacy, the caring, that's not going to kick in for us till later. When we're young and hot-bodied and horny and all this other kind of stuff, we just want to have sex, and we don't care about none of that other stuff.
When a father should hone in to his son and say, yeah, I know you got all these raging hormones and stuff like that, but there's a responsibility that comes with that. And when you're sharing this experience with a woman, you're supposed to treat her with respect. First of all, you're supposed to choose one that you can respect after the experience is over. You know, there isn't enough being taught about the post experience.
I want to take it on the level of respect, like Bree was just saying about respecting. Yes, sir.
Kenny, hold on, because we're about the show about to cut off. I just want to say to all the listeners who are going to get cut off, we're going to still be talking, but we love you for listening. Email us rextratv@gmail.com. We'll see you back here again on our Extra Relationship Extra on Bree Life Radio Network. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
All okay. Right. So, yes, okay. Kenny,
so
you were
ahead,
saying?
No, I was saying about the whole respecting the lady situation. You know, it just really dawned on me. I almost had to take three guys out the other day when I was leaving the film shoot because I'm standing at the bus stop with my 15-year-old daughter, and these three knuckleheads decide to come to the bus stop, and every other word out their mouth is a cuss word. Now, my daughter don't cuss. My daughter don't hear me cuss. And I'm
right.
not going to let her get abused verbally by listening to these dudes. So I just turned to all three of them. I said, hey, fellas, I'm standing here with my daughter. You gonna respect her if you don't respect nobody else at this bus stop. I appreciate it if you curb your language until we are not at this bus stop anymore. And they all three looked at me like, yes, sir. But that just goes back to there's no person, not even man or woman, person in their life that taught them to respect, one, the two older ladies that are standing at the bus stop. So you're disrespecting your elders, and you disrespecting this young lady. And I'm not even worried myself. I'm your elder, too, but you know, it's whatever. But you're going to respect this young lady here. But these guys don't have the basic basic knowledge to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to disrespect these people because no one has been there to tell them because they probably have somebody that didn't respect them in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it just gets when I see somebody and they cussing their child out, I want to just smack them. Because, like, what do you think they're going to grow up doing?
Right.
They're not going to respect you, especially a mother cussing her son out. Oh,
right.
My God. That's just going to go off the wall because he's going to see women as somebody that is going to treat him that way, and then he's going to treat them the way he felt when his mother was cussing him out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I agree with that. And I want to just comment on the whole teaching intimacy to your sons and stuff like that. And there's a lot of grown men who don't know what intimacy is, so how are they going to teach it to sons?
Right, exactly.
They don't know how they're going to teach. And
right.
It's unfortunate, but because we're in such a microwave society and everybody wants everything yesterday, intimacy is a time frame. It's just time consuming. So no one feels like they want to put in the time or they need to put in the time. They just don't. They feel like, you know what, I just want to go ahead and get my stuff off, and if I've got to go through this whole, I got to open doors for you, bring you flowers, pull out your chair and rub your feet. Please, I can go down to the street and see Sonequa, and she just do what I want her to do. And I don't have to do all that extra
and
stuff.
If they come in one of my daughters that way, that's exactly where they'll be, down the street.
And that's unfortunate, but it's because they can get it quick and easy without no mess from somewhere else, then that's what they're going to continue to do. Because the standards is all split into so many different directions. You got this over here who is saying we want intimacy, we need you to step up and be a gentleman, and then you have the next group over there talking about, please, all I want you to do is buy me some sneakers, pay my phone bill, I don't care about that extra stuff. Guess where they're going to go? They're going to go where they can get it free and easy, and all they got to do is spend a couple of bucks and get it over with, then to go through the process of trying to give something to someone they don't know how to give. They don't know how to do all of that. To them, that's extra work that they just don't want to put in. They don't know how to put in. They have no interest in putting in, and that's it. Now, when it comes to love, love and intimacy go hand in hand. But if you ain't in love with the person that you are supposed to be intimate with, then you are not going to try to do anything with that person that's intimate because you don't. There's no love there. So I have a split emotions when it comes to that because I've been in situations where I've been with guys who don't know what the hell intimacy is, and if it banged them on the head and smacked them in the face, they wouldn't know the difference. They really would not. They don't know.
Yeah.
And I've been with guys who know all about intimacy but don't know nothing else. So it's always a double-edged sword when you're asking for intimacy, and if you're not in love with that person, intimacy ain't going to matter. It is just not. It's, you just can't fake the funk. I don't care who you are. You can't fake the funk. If you don't love the person that you're trying to be intimate with, it just ain't going to work. So
yeah, well, you know, Red, I just want to address Kenny for a minute, and then Stoney has something that she wants to say. Kenny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What I want to say to you is, you know, I've watched you, you know, the little time I've spent around you, and you're a great father, and you got great girls. I raise daughters and everything, so I know. So when your daughters become grown, and they start to date and go out here and meet guys, interact with guys, don't let their mistakes or don't let their shortcomings in this dating situation as they evolve and try to get into this world and navigate their way around be a reflection to how you were as a father if they make mistakes or errors. That's a natural thing they're going to have to go through and navigate. See, too many of us, you know, we want to raise our little daughters as princesses and to be respected, and we teach them that, okay? But a lot of times they go out here anyway, and they pick the exact opposite guy of what we told them to avoid. And we have to understand that that's not a reflection on us as a man. We did the best we could. We prepared them. We raised them. They're grown. They're adults. They have to go out here and make their own way. And at some point, all we can do is hope that our teachings, at some point when they get 30, 35, that stuff will kick back in and go, my dad used to tell me this all the time. My mom would always say this, that. That's when those things kick back in. But you can't say to yourself, you know, shoot yourself down and say, I did the best I could, and now look at her. Because now she has to go out here and be in a world where you mix your heart, you mix your mind, you know, different guys come with different game, all this other kind of stuff. And you know, you were a young man at those times
sure.
as well. So you know what they're going to be facing. But you also know that you're a good father, and it's not a reflection of you
as a father. With your child, being able to communicate with your child helps. Because, see,
uh-huh.
I mean, if I tell my daughter, say, look, you know, we could talk about anything, and being able to have the relationships that, you know, that I have with mine, you know, I can't, you know, I don't have a great relationship with my oldest daughter, but these two that are here, they always know they can come to me and talk to me about anything. I love the fact that they're 15 and 13 and love hanging out with dad. They, you know, they like hanging out with their friends, the ones, you know, we know all their friends, so they can hang out with the friends they do have. But they don't look, you know, I sent the picture of Angel to somebody just the other day, and they were like, you know what, I'm so glad she looks like a teenager, not an adult, as most 15-year-olds these days look like, because their parents are allowing them to act as if they're adults. No, you're not an adult. You're 15, okay? But you're growing. I'm grooming you to be a young adult and then into an adulthood. But with that comes other things, and, of course, boys are coming into it. You know, Angel running around here giggling when she sees certain people. And you know, I understand that that happens, and, yes, she's going to make mistakes. She cannot grow if she don't make mistakes. But me as a father, I can sit back and go, you know what, when you make your mistakes, come here first and talk to me, and we'll get you through your mistakes together. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to judge you because, you know, I raised you. Now you have to get out the nest and make your own mistakes. I'm not going to like some of the mistakes, like you said. But Boudreaux ain't coming through the door with his pants hanging down the back of his ass either.
Right.
That's not going to happen. They ain't going to allow that. They got more respect for themselves than to allow that. But they may meet the person that they may meet a representative, and then 2 years down the line, all of a sudden this real person want to show up. That's when you call dad. That's when you go, hey, dad, I think I met a representative. Okay, let's deal with that. Okay, you in love with the representative, but now you got the real person. What do you do? Okay, let's deal with that. You know? hopefully right. it won't have to get met with, you know.
Yeah. What do you want to say, Stoney? Because I know Stoney has something
he
wanted to say.
Yeah, I wanted to say something. Thank you. What I wanted to say was I was listening to what Red said earlier in regard to abuse and everything and the controlling thing and didn't know until she got to college of what that really was. And that's the ongoing theme.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sitting here now, and I tried to, when raising my son, my oldest son, Reese, try to get him prepared for every situation that could possibly happen. Not saying that he's going to remember or he's going to take it all in, you know, stuff, you know, get caught out there and stuff. But, you know, he's with a girl, and this I realized I had to take a role on this too, was when he met this girl and everything, she did not learn or did not have a lot of information that Reese had. Mm-hmm. And so I'm having to also guide her and train her because she wasn't going to get anyplace else because that her parents just wasn't that type of parent. So I have to say, what is my obligation to that? And, you know, she's a nice girl.
She's a real bag of rocks.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She's a real bag of rocks. She need help. Well, but you're helping us. I'm glad, you know.
She's not a bag of rocks. She's 18. There's only so much. I mean, you can only be what you've been put into. And if nothing was put into her, she can't be a bag of rocks if that's all. If she all she knows is what was given to her.
Something was put into her. She got a baby.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. But anyway. Anyway,
so she has a level of ignorance, but ignorance can be.
She wants no. She wants to learn, but she doesn't know that she's missing anything because no one else is teaching her. She knows what her parents have taught her, and her parents have stopped because they were indulging in their own selves and their own afflictions of what they're going through. So she's pretty much having to raise herself along with her sister and stuff like that. But when, you know, you see, when she comes over, you see that there's something, some stuff that's missing that she didn't get. So, you know, I'm having to sit down with her and we talk and I fill in some of the gaps and she's taking it in. So it's not like she doesn't know. She just never knew that that was something that she had to learn. So that's where you have to say to yourself that there are people out here, there's kids out here that parents are not doing what they're supposed to do in regards to their children, not doing them a justice, you know, including even my mother. I mean, and I love her to life.
Mm-hmm.
She sheltered, and that's what a lot of us parents do. We shelter our children until it's time for them to go out. And then sometimes they just want to just throw it all on us and say, okay, this is what you got to do, this is it. And we're like, but now I'm going out there and I'm not ready. And you feel so unready. So we have to really, and then when Red said that, it really hit home for me to say, yeah, we really need to remember that we have obligations to our children, to other children, that what we learning now at 45 and all this stuff, we still have to give it back to our kids or our kids are, remember, these kids got to take care of us when we get older, and you got to remember, we want them to take care of us. If we're not going to give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
well
you,
said.
So
absolutely.
So, anyone else have anything?
Oh, hey,
any other freestyles on the line?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, Alex just abandoned us. I mean, he just totally like left us completely.
Is that the click I heard?
Yeah.
What it was? He just left. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but is it a blessing or is it a so
that is funny.
So does anyone else have anything else that we could talk about or want to talk about or get off their chest or say, you know what? This is what I feel.
Well, I'm good. I'd rather, like, for the first time
having been a part of Relationship Extras on Freestyle Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think this is something that should be in the roll call, on the format on a regular basis. I mean, you should try to do this at least once a month, I think.
I agree.
And we really need to collectively push it, because one thing that nobody gets tired of talking about is their relationships, whether it's past, present, or the impending ones.
Exactly.
You know,
good, ugly or indifferent.
That's right. So, you know, this is a good format.
Yeah.
That I think we should continue.
Yeah,
that's my closing.
It has definitely been a pleasure.
Yes, it has, and I'm glad that it's back. I mean, I've been kind of missing. I'm like, okay, it's Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. I was like that last week, and Stoney was like, oh, we're not broadcasting. I was like,
where is it? I need to be.
And the Bree Life Radio Show will be back on the air next week, but I am going to air the freestyle this Thursday.
Okay.
And intimacy is going to be the platform on which I'm going to be building my freestyle. So I hope that all of you will be able to call in and participate, because I feel that this is an important topic to keep pushing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think
Absolutely.
There's enough intimacy in the world now. I think that media has taken over
mm-hmm.
and pushed sex in the forefront. And these kids, they gyrating,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, mm-hmm. these girls, they acting up, and they really don't, I mean, they don't have anything to draw from. They don't have
right.
it at home. They don't have it at school. Because there are no funds for extracurricular activities in their communities, they don't even have a community-based program that they could even go to get some enrichment. So, you know. It's time to talk about, you know, damn talk about sex. We need to talk about some intimacy. We need to,
right.
because intimacy is how we interact with one another, how we care about each other. So that's what I want to talk about.
I'll wait for Thursday to tell you about the things that the reasons there's lack of intimacy.
Okay. Well, you know, we
will hold off as well, because I have some things. And actually, you know, Nivea is doing a whole campaign on touch, because they feel like all we do is use our cell phone, and we have lost intimacy in even holding our child's hand crossing the street because our kid is always on the cell phone. We don't with our children because they're always texting or talking or Facebooking or whatever they're doing. So yeah,
well, they got to have them to be able to do that.
Well,
yep.
But if they're not being told at home, put your damn phone down, we're going to have family dinner.
Right.
Then who's going to take over from there? Someone's got to do it. So that's another part we could touch on, not just that it's a sex thing, but also that it's an all-around thing. I mean,
just basic intimacy and being able to communicate with one another. We had that show. Unfortunately, I don't know if Kenny was part of the listenership during that time and read. I think this might have been when you jumped on the line, but I had a show about communication and technology
mm-hmm.
and how we have become a part of this age where there isn't a lot of personal communication taking place. People argue, and I have been guilty of it, arguing via text. That shit is crazy.
Yeah.
I got sucked into arguing texting back and forth. That is
mm-hmm.
insane.
What's really crazy is that our kids are good at that, because they'll argue via text. So what I do is I call him. He can't argue with me on the phone. He can't talk to me and argue. He can only argue on the text.
Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not answering you on text. If you want to talk to me, you talk to me on the phone, or you talk to me face-to-face. But he can't do it face-to-face, and that's a problem. He cannot communicate socially. He cannot be in anyone's face and then express himself unless he's doing it on text. And so I had to talk with him, and he actually sat down and he talked with Alex, and he was able to communicate better. But I had to bring it out to him and saying that that is a problem, because if you can't express yourself in here, that means you can't express yourself out there when you need to express yourself.
Right.
Because your boss is not going to pick up the cell phone and text you, you're fired. He's going to come to your face and tell you you're fired.
Oh, that's for damn sure. And when you're looking for your check at the end of the week, you ain't texting payroll for it. You know? Come on.
That's payroll. Where's my check?
Right.
Right.
So these, you know, I had that show before of talking about how society has the lack of personal one-on-one communication and social skills of these young kids are awful. They have no social skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, for instance, and I'm not being accusatory or anything, but it's just a common thing. Young people don't know how to interact with one another. When my son was in junior high school, I used to go up to the junior high school to be a behavioral specialist and get the kids to learn how to work out their differences instead of, you know, to minimize the bullying. I saw firsthand, I was like, damn, these kids don't know how to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to, the boys don't know how to talk to the girl. And the girl, and I'm going to tell you something, junior high school girls are worse than the boys.
Oh, yeah.
They are worse than the boys.
A lot of them are, yes.
You know, it's a generational thing from generation to generation. You look at the kids and wonder who's at home with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, we're going to expand on all of this on Thursday. I think this is a hot topic. I think it's one that should be, you know, reemphasized. And, you know, it's a way to keep the dialogue going. And, you know, when the show is over, you go back to your respective communities and you talk about it with the other people, because it's a big problem. It's a big problem. This technology, and this constant talk of sex and lack of intimacy. So,
right.
I say bravo for your first relationship extra freestyle, and
yay.
I want to wish everyone a good night.
Good night.
I love you all on purpose.
Love
good
you
night.
Too. Good night. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Okay. Peace and
good night, old chocolate.
I want to call one, please.
Make sure you call in on Thursday.
All right, I will do.
All right.
All right.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.